Okay. Boker Tov. Good morning. We're here at Kilat Shiftei Son Ranana on Zoom studying Amud Yomi. We are up to Masechet Shabbat, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. And we're starting with the second to last line, or third to last line on Bet Amud Bet. Let's summarize what we have until this point, and then we'll be able to move forward with some very important principles that come up on this Daf. We're going to talk about catching snakes. We're going to talk about bursting pimples on Shabbat. We're going to talk about refuah, melacha she'inat tzricha legufa, a number of different very important topics. So, we're on the last three lines of Bet Amud Bet, and the Mishnah Rav Matna is going to make an interesting point, an insight to Abaye. And he says to Abaye, remember, our Mishnah is talking about where you have two people. You have a poor person standing outside in Rishut HaRabim in the public area. You have a balabait, an owner of a home, standing inside the house, and that is a Rishut HaYachid. And they're passing things between them. There are situations where the ani, the poor person, is chayav for hotza'ah, because he puts his hand in and he pulls something out. He does akira and hanacha, putting it into Rishut HaRabim. And there could also be a situation where if he puts his hand in, or if he brings something in from outside, inside, that's also akira, hanacha, and he's chayav. Chayav minatara, which means he's punishable by stoning if he does it intentionally. You have the opposite case for the balabait. He could take something outside that's inside, or take something from outside and bring it inside. Inside, outside, outside, inside. So those are two cases. That's four cases that we have. And then we have the other cases where we don't have Torah violations, but we have rabbinic violations, and that is where they split the akira and the hanacha. So the balabait is putting his hand out, and the ani is taking it from him, for example. Okay, or the balabait puts his hand out, the ani puts something into his hand, and he pulls it in. So there's joint, there's shared action, in a sense. Okay, so basically what Rav Matna now is going to say to Abaye is as follows. You know, he says, we've counted all the cases in the Mishnah, and they amount to eight. Tamni, okay? Taf switches with the shin, so shmona. Tamni, we have eight cases, okay? He says, but the truth is, tarti sarein havyan, they're actually really 12. Trey is two. Sare is eser. So there are really 12 different cases in the Mishnah. How do we get from 8 to 12? Again, we have two cases each for the Ani being violating Torah law, and two cases for the Balabai violating Torah law. That's four. And then we have four cases of Patur, four cases where each side is doing half, the poor person and the Balabai, and it's going to be Patur. That's how you get 2 plus 2 plus 4 equals 8. We say, wait a second, it's really 12. 12. 8 should be 12. Why should 8 be 12? Because in the last four cases, the balabait is doing one thing, the ani is doing something else. So you actually have to double the cases when we have a case of patur, where they are, where we say you're only violating a rabbinic thing. Because, listen, the ani puts his hand in, he brings something in from outside, but the balabait then takes it from him. So that's two actions, not one. So we have ultimately 12. So what does Abaye respond? Abaye says, v'letamech, Shitzar hevyan. Shitzar is comes from the word shin yud taf is sheish. Okay, shishi. The taf switches with the shin. You have shishi. It's really 16 cases. Why is it 16 cases? Let's go through how we have 16 cases. There's 16 cases that are documented, or actions that are documented in our Mishnah. What are the 16 actions? Well, let's just talk about the first eight. So we said that there are two cases where the ani, the poor person, he takes a cup of water, takes it from Rishut HaYachid, brings it all the way into Rishut HaRabim. Okay, sorry, I'm not one hand. He takes it in and puts it down. Okay, that is one action. And then we have another case where the Ani puts his hand in, takes the cup of water, and brings it back out. Okay, those are the two cases we were speaking about. It's the opposite for the Balabait. You have four. But the Gemara is saying as follows. Wait a second. We didn't account for the person who's not doing anything. Because the Ani is putting his cup of water into the house. And what's the Balabait doing? He's not doing anything, but count that action. Even though he's not doing anything, you should count that as an action. Because he's still part of the picture, so you should make it into 16 now. So what's the Gemara's answer going to be? We're not going to count things. Okay, Amar Lei, hello, Kasha. He says, this is not a question. There's no way we're going to get to 16. Bishlama bibava de resha patur umutar lo katani. Ala bibava de seifa de patur vela sorkasha. He says as follows. Bava is a gate. Okay. Bava kama is the first gate. Bava mitzia is the second gate. Bava batra is the third gate. Bava in this case means paragraph or sentence. The first chunk of the Mishnah, the first sentence of the Mishnah, bava duresha, okay, those are cases of patur umutar. That's a case where the ani is putting the cup of water and dropping it inside the house. The balabait, even though we use the language of patur, which normally in the laws of Shabbat means that he's violated something rabbinically, the truth is it's patur, which is really mutar. It's totally permitted. The balabait didn't do anything. He's standing in his home. The ani brought everything and put it down. And so the balabait is totally mutar what he did. So we don't count cases where someone is doing something mutar. It's pointless. We don't need to count that. Ela bibava de seifa. But in the second part of the Mishnah, the cases where you have rabbinic violations, where the ani, you know, brings something from Rishut Rabin for the public thoroughware and brings it into the home, and then the balabai takes it. So where they're both doing something and they're both violating a rabbinic obligation, those we do count. Okay, alababa de seifa in the second part of the Mishnah, the patur, where patur is referring to asur, meaning it's prohibited. Kashia, you have a good question. Why are we enumerating 8 and not 12? So what's the answer? So the Gemara says, wait a second. Miika, first of all, they said, wait a second. Is there a situation? And let's just go back to the Mishnah for a second, because the Mishnah's language was confusing, because in the first cases where the balabait and the ani are not doing anything, and the person bringing it in is doing everything, the language that was used there was, Pashat ani yedivel lifnim emtana toch yadosh al balabait, o shenata mitocha dotzi ani chayav, u balabait patur. The balabait is patur. Now, Pinchas, you asked about this on our first day of learning Masachat Shabbat, and I said, we're going to resolve this on Gimel Amud Aleph, and that's what we're doing right now. So the Gemara asks, is there such a situation where you could call something an action patur, but it's really permitted, it's mutar, it's totally permitted. Mi'ika b'kulei Shabbat patur mutar, v'ha'amar Shmuel, but doesn't Shmuel teach us? Kol peturei de Shabbat, patur aval asur. All, every time it says in Masachat Shabbat, 157 blat, that something is patur, it means that you're violating a rabbinic prohibition. Except, bar mehani tlat, except for three things. Tlat means three, except for three cases. The patur, that patur means mutar, that it's totally permitted. And what are those three cases? We're going to see three cases now, and one of them is not our Mishnah. So we're going to see exceptions to the rule where patur means mutar, but one of them is not our Mishnah, so we can't include our Mishnah in there. What are the three cases? So we're going to give our three cases, then we'll come back to our Mishnah. So what are the three? The patur mutar. Number one is tzedat tzvi. What does tzedat tzvi mean? What is tzeda in halacha? Anybody? Latsud. Latsud svi is to capture a ram on Shabbat. Okay? We're going to explain what this case is. The second case is tzedat nachash, catching a snake. And the third is mafis mursa. Mafis mursa. Anybody want to guess what mafis mursa is? Mafis mursa is to pop. One second. I think David's trying to get on. Let me just help him get on. Okay, let me just, if someone could just send the link to the Amud Yomi group to David, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much. Or you know what, I'll just do it. Okay, otherwise he's going to keep, 1 second, participants. Just going to send him the invite link. Okay, good. Okay, so what are these three cases? So tzedat tzvi, this comes up in Masachat Shabbat on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Bet, and this has to do with capturing a ram or an isle, okay, into your home. So what's the situation? Let's say a ram runs into your house. The door's open, the ram runs into your house. Steve, can you imagine that happening in your apartment here in Ranana? Unlikely, but let's say it happens. Okay, and you close the door. If you close the door, you are violating tzad. You're capturing an animal. It can't get out, so you've captured it now. Let's say you have the following situation where the tzvi goes into Steve's house, the door's open, it runs into his house, he closes the door, okay? Now, I'm standing there next to tzvi and we're schmoozing, we're studying Amud Yomi together that morning, right by the door of his house. And Steve then has to leave, and he even opens the door, and then I'm standing there and I close the door again. If I were to close the door again, it's totally mutar, okay? It's the door. I don't think the door's been opened in this situation. Let me just look at the parshanim here. It seems like the door remains closed. So the door remains closed in this situation. And the reason why am I not violating tzad? Steve leaves. I'm helping to protect the door, essentially, but the answer is that extra protection of the door is not considered like capturing, and therefore this is patur ava mutar, totally permitted what I'm doing. That's the first case of tzedat tzvi. What's the second case of tzedat nachash? So in general, you're not allowed to catch things on Shabbat. However, nachash is a more complicated situation because a nachash could be dangerous. And pikuach nefesh docha Shabbat. So by the nachash, generally we say as follows, okay, and it's important to understand that there's a principle called melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Every melacha on Shabbat, every one of the 39 prohibited actions, and one of them, by the way, is tzeda, is capturing an animal, every single one has an intended purpose, why it was done in the Mishkan. To build the Mishkan, they needed to capture animals in order to have them for korbanot. So tzeda, according to Masachat Shabbat, means to capture something because you need to use that animal for your own purposes. When I'm capturing a snake, am I capturing a snake for my own purposes? I mean, am I going to use it anyway? No, I'm just trying to prevent the snake from biting someone, chas v'shalom. So I'm not capturing the snake because I need it. I'm not going to make, I don't know, snake oil and use it for my food or something. Or I don't have any use for a snake. But I'm just doing it for protection, and therefore this is a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. It's a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Now we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to come back to this concept throughout Masechet Shabbat. It's a melacha which is done for a different reason. I'm doing the melacha, I'm capturing, but I'm doing it in order to protect someone from harm, not because I want the snake itself. And we say patur. According to Rabbi Shimon, it is patur. Now, patur. Patur suggests that it's still prohibited rabbinically. However, because it's a case of tsar, because the presence of the snake causes pain to somebody, therefore, and you're trying to protect somebody from this, therefore it's patur aval mutar. It's totally permitted for you to capture the snake. The third case is the case of a mephis mursa, is popping a pimple, okay? Now, let's say you have a situation where, you know, in order to pop a pimple, you essentially need to make a hole in your skin. Now, why does a person pop a pimple? Because they don't like the way it looks on their face. It's uncomfortable. They don't like the way it looks. It has a, you know, especially the white ones that have pus in them. So you want to pop it and get the stuff out, okay? Now, if you're making a hole in your skin in order to build, literally to build a hole, and you want that hole to remain there, okay, one example might be sometimes they, sometimes they insert, I'm just forgetting what the term is, a medical term, where they insert, something into your arm and they keep it there. You can keep it there for a few weeks at a time, right? And they cover it up. And every time you need to put fluids in, they put it through through that valve or that link, whatever it is. I'm just forgetting what this is called. But, okay, and there you're making a hole in the body that you want to keep open, okay? And then you're violating bone. Now, in this situation, my goal is to get the pus out from the zit, from the pimple. And therefore, again, it's a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. I'm violating, I'm making a hole in my body, which is a form of chabala, which is, or I'm causing something, which is a violation of perhaps of shechita. Okay, so I'm doing something that's a melacha, it's prohibited. However, I'm doing it for a different reason. Again, the melacha she'ina tzricha legufa is patur aval mutar. Patur aval mutar. And we'll look at this halacha l'maaseh about that popping a zit on Shabbat. So what we see here is that there are three examples where the Gemara uses the term patur, but it really is mutar. One of the examples that doesn't come up, though, is our case in our Mishnah, okay? Where the Ani, remember, the Ani brings it into the house, and the Balabait is just standing there. That's patur. We said to use the word patur, but we didn't say patur aval mutar. So then why is this not counted as one of the actions in the Mishnah? So the answer is as follows. Ki itzterich alei l'shmuel paturei dika avid maasei. Paturei deloka avid maasei ikatuva. He says, there's a difference when you're doing something and not doing something. The Mishnah is enumerating three cases, that it's patur aval mutar when you do something. When you act, when you capture, you know, when you help to capture a tzvi, when you capture a nachash, when you, you know, when you pop a zit. But the case in our Mishnah where the Ani brings something into the home and the Balabait is just standing there, he is not doing anything with regards to Hotza'ah. And therefore, we don't enumerate it. And therefore, it is another case of Patur Aval Mutar. It's permitted 100%, but it's not enumerated. Now, two questions that I want to raise about this that are brought up in Tosfot. First of all, Tosfot says, wait a second. Isn't there an issue of Ve'im Tomar, top Tosfot on the page, Ve'im Tomar V'haka Avar Alifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol. Wait a second. Isn't the Balabait still opening the door? Isn't the Balabait letting the poor person bring something into the house? In which case, this is... he's violating, he's helping a Jew violate an Isur in the Torah. He's opening the door. The Ani can only get his cup into the house and do Akiran Hanacha if the Balabait opens the door for him, right? So isn't that Lifnei Ver Lo Titein Michshol? And look at Tosfot. He says, now, even though it's the case that the Ani could put something into the Rishut HaYachid without the Balabait, maybe he could open the door himself. Nonetheless, he's still at least helping him, Midrabanan, violate an Isur. So you know what Tosfot needs to say? Tosfot gives an answer. We'll also look at the Rush. Tosfot says, you know what case we're talking about? We're talking about a case where the Balabait, or the Ani is actually not Jewish. Okay, so the Ani is not Jewish, and there's no Lifnei Iver Anad Rabbanan. You know, Yeshemar Demayr Benochri V'Achefet Shel Nochri, Da'afilu Machnis U'motzi Kol Hayom Ein Kanis Or Klal Kevan She'ein Achefet Shel Balabait. So we're talking about a non-Jew, and the object doesn't even belong to the to the Jew. Okay, so that's how Tosfot has to deal with this. The Rush says we're not talking about Lifnei Iver. There may be a violation of Lifnei Iver. That's not what we're talking about here. We're just talking about Melechet Hotza'ah. That's number one. Number two, Tosfot points out, you know what? There are other examples throughout Masechet Shabbat where we use the word patur, but it really means mutar, that it's totally permitted. What's the other example he gives? And this is an example that's found on Daf Kaftet Amud Bet. Okay? What's the example of Kaftet Amud Bet? That you're actually allowed to put out a light. Okay, HaMechabet HaNer Mivnei Shehu Mitarei V'im Bishvil HaCholeh She'ishan Patur. Let's say I have a choleh, a person who's sick, okay, and the choleh she'ish bo sakana, and I put out the light. They can't sleep. They're not doing well, and I want them to sleep at night, so I blow out the candle on Shabbat. So this is what the Mishnah says, you're allowed to do this. And it says Patur. Okay, and this is a choleh she'ish bo sakana, and therefore it must be patur aval mutar. It's permitted, totally permitted to do this. You could do anything for a totally sick person on Shabbat, and yet the Gemara uses the language of patur, which really means should really mean mutar. So what's the answer here? The tirates the hamilta the pshita he velo it's the rechle the shmua. So Tosfot says, it's so obvious that situation. It's so obvious that it's permitted to turn off a candle or blow out a candle in order to help a sick person on Shabbat. And then we didn't even enumerate that case. We don't even enumerate, but there are other examples of patur about mutar in our masechet. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. Let's go back to our Gemara. Mikol makom, nonetheless, tarti sari havyan. Nonetheless, we're still at 12. We're not at 16. You're right. We dealt with 16. It's not 16 because we're not going to include all the mutars, the patur of a mutar, but it's still 12. So what's the Gemara's answer? So Rashi explains here as follows. We only enumerate the cases of a patur. Okay, why do we only count 8 and not 12? Why didn't we count all the paturim in the second part of the Mishnah, where the Ani does half and the Balabai does half? Why don't we enumerate all of them? And the answer is as follows. We only enumerate the cases of patur, the actions, which might lead to an Isur Doraita. So if you start the Akira, we're going to only enumerate the Ani, the poor person who's standing in the Rishut Rabim, and he brings it into the house. That's the only part. We don't enumerate this. Why not? Because this action, where the Balabai takes the water, it can never lead to an Isur Doraita of both Akira and Anacha. He's taking the water. All he's going to do is Anacha. Whereas the Ani's action, he brings it in, okay? He uproots it, okay? And if he just stands there, if he were to put it down, it would turn into an Isur Doraita. So we only enumerate the actions that can lead to a full Torah violation. Okay, so that's how we get to 8. That's why we're only enumerating 8 actions or cases in our Mishnah and not 12, and already we explained why it's not 16. Okay, now the Gemara is going to ask a very important question. Shnein peturin, v'ayita vida melacha b'inayu. We say, wait a second. The case where, you know, take any one of the last cases in the Mishnah. Again, the Ani brings the water into the house, and then the Balabai takes it. Okay? Now, in this situation, they're both patur, meaning they violated a rabbinic violation, but they didn't violate a Torah violation. We say, wait a second. But take one and one, which equals two. They're both doing this together. They violated Nisr Doraita. So they should be Chayav on Shabbat, and this is prohibited.
Excuse me, Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to get mathematical, but it sounds like it's like two negatives equals a positive, kind of like in algebra. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I mean, that's exactly what that came to mind.
that's going to be, so two negatives, you're saying two negatives equal a positive. You're saying that's the Gemara's question, that's Gemara's answer. That's Gemara's question. What you're suggesting that they should add, it should add up to something, essentially, right? When you multiply.
I'm basically, you know, look, okay, it's a Rabbanan, but at the same time, it's two wrongs. I mean, how can it be a wrong?
Nachon. So it's adding, okay, so the Gemara's answer is as follows. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Me'am Ha'aretz. They quote a Pasuk, Me'am Ha'aretz, Ba'asotah. Okay, this is a Pasuk from Parshat Vayikra. Nefesh Achat, if one person tachata sins, Bishpaga, Me'am Ha'aretz, Ba'asotah, Achat, Mimitzvot Hashem. And they violate one of the mitzvot of Hashem. So the Gemara Darshan says as follows. Me'am Ha'aretz, Ba'asotah, Ha'oset Kula, V'lo Ha'oset Miktzatah. So what does this mean? You only violate an Isur in the Torah if you do the whole action. If you do part of the action, you didn't violate it. Okay. So, and what are we learning from there? How said miktzata yachid v'asa ota chayav shnayim v'asu ota pturin. But if you have one person who does an action that can be done by one person, but two people do it, so they're only doing half of the action. So therefore, that's why it's patur. Even though, and so instead of saying it adds up to one Isur Doraita, no, it's we say none of them did a full act. And therefore, both of them are patur. Again, patur of alasur, but patur. Now, what if you had a case where they're carrying a couch inside? Okay, a really big couch. And two people, let's say two people, pick up a couch and bring it from the Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid. So you could say, wait a second, it's two people. They're both doing half an action, but this is an exception. Why is it an exception? Because one person could not pick up the couch on their own. It's impossible. You need two people to pick up a big couch and bring it into a house. So an action that demands two people, that would create a violation for both of them. But an action that can be done by one person and two people do it, they're each doing half of an action, and it's patur. Good. Let's go on. Itmar nami amarav chia bar gamda nizrukami piya chabura. They threw out an idea before the group of Torah scholars. Okay, same teaching. One person who does something is chayav, but if they break it into two actions, patur. Okay, so before we jump to the next few words. I just want to practically tell you the halakha with regards to Mafis Mursa, which is popping a zit on Shabbat. So we find this in Shin, Kaf, Chet, Seif, Pei, Tet. So again, if you want to take out the liquid from a zit, you're allowed, it's mutar to do this on Shabbat. Maybe it's causing you pain, whatever it is. If you're doing it in order to create a hole that you want to keep open, that's a problem. But here you're allowed to take it out. Why is it mutar? Because again, it's melacha she'enat tzricha legufa. You're doing this action for a different reason. Okay, so the action, the isra melacha could be either shechita, maybe you're causing chabala, you're causing blood to come out, or it could be chabala, which is a derivative of shechita, or it's boneh, like you're building something, you're building a hole into your skin. However, it's melacha she'enat tzricha legufa, which is asur midrabanan, but in the case of tza'ar, where something's causing you pain, physical pain, or you don't feel you look good with the zit on your face, so therefore you're allowed to remove this, and this is totally permitted on Shabbat. One second, okay, good. So permitted to pop a zit on Shabbat if it's causing you pain. Good, let's move on to the next part of the Gemara. Baimine Rav Me Rebbe, Rav asks Rebbe. Now this is an interesting case. Hit'ino chavero ochlin umashkin, Vohotzian machutz mahu akirat gufo ka akirat chayfetz mimakom adami umachayev odilma lo. Okay, so we're going to continue with this case tomorrow, but the case is as follows. Let's say, I'm standing outside of the Rishut Rabim. Okay, I'm outside. I'm standing in Rishut Rabim here. Okay, and someone puts something onto my back. Okay, other people put something onto my back. Okay, so you can see this. So I didn't pick it up in Rishut HaRabim, someone else put it onto my back, and then I walk into the Rishut HaYachid. I'm essentially carrying it in, but I didn't do anything, I didn't put it on my back. So if it's a situation where I pick something up and I put it on, that's one thing. Here, okay, we have a situation where, your friend put something on you, it could be food or drink, okay, and you bring it outside. So I talked about the case of bring it inside and going outside. Doesn't matter. Mahu. The question is, how do we look at this case? Akirat kufoke akirat chayfetz min komodami. If you move your body, now I could say I'm not moving the object, but I'm moving my body, and that moves the object. So I'm moving the object inside. So is it like moving the object? In which case you're chayav. Odil malo. Or maybe not. Maybe you have to move. You have to pick something up and move the object with your hand. So Amar Lei Chayav, he says, you're a Chayav. Ve'eno dome liado. Okay, so we're gonna stop here because we're gonna continue this discussion tomorrow. He basically says it's not like your hand. Okay, rather you are you're Chayav for this. And Ve'eno dome liado. Okay, so we're going to pick up on this tomorrow. Let's just look at Rashi quickly. Look at Rashi. Ve'eno dome liado. Hapshuta lifnim. Ve'gufo lachutz. Ve'natan balabayit letocha. De'patar be'etane de'matnitin af le'ani shehotziah. So what's the case here that Rashi says? So we're talking about a case where you're bringing something out. Ve'eno dome hapshuta lifnim. Ve'gufo lachutz. So let's say the ani is standing outside, but his hand goes inside, okay, and the balabait is putting something, so the ani is standing outside, but his hand is inside the reshuta ayachid. The balabait then puts something into his hand, and then he pulls it out, and that was a case of patur, okay? The ani himself is patur. Again, that's a case where you're bringing something out, you're patur because he's only doing half an action. The question is, what if if you're wearing something and you bring it outside, and we're saying it's not like the yado. The yado is patur, whereas for your body, you're going to be chayav. Okay, we will continue with this tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, 8:30 a.m. here on Zoom. Great learning with all of you. If any of you, by the way, have questions, feel free to ask it during the shiur. And of course, you could always send me a text message if something is not clear. But we're moving on. We're moving through Masechet Shabbat. Day by day. Wishing you all Shavua Tov. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And it's good to do some Chazara on what we learned. It's always good to go through the Gemara again and try to read it on your own. Okay, Kol Tov, everybody. Okay, have a